and open up to Hebrews for me. Hebrews 11. I was reviewing a few things this morning, and Brother Charlie says, I sure am glad I don't have to take notes this morning. He made fun of me because I didn't take notes while he preaches. He said, I'm not very good at that sort of thing. Okay, Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, I don't know if you realize it, but in that verse there are three separate statements. The first statement is, without faith, it is impossible to please him. So what is faith? Okay, we go back to Hebrews 11:1, and it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith consists of having a hope in something, and faith is a conviction, a strong belief that what God promised you is true no matter what it looks like. We have to have faith to please God, and faith is not a stage that we go through or a phase that we go through. Faith is a way of life. It is a continuing attitude that we obtain in our spirit with the help of the Holy Spirit. Statement 2, for he who comes to God must believe that he is. Must. An absolute requirement. Something that is indispensable. So, if you come to God, you must believe who he is. So, who is God? Who is he? That's right. He's our Savior. He's our healer. He's our provider. He's our deliverer. He's our counsel. He's our wisdom. He's our rock. He's our shelter. He's our strong tower. He's the beginning. He's the end. In essence, he is our everything. So, it takes faith. We've established it takes faith to believe who God says he is. This chapter is full of men and women who dared to believe God was who he said he was and is. I want to start in verse 3 and just kind of skim through the chapter a little bit, reading some of this. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Going on to verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, In Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. By faith Moses, down in verse 24, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for which he looked to the reward. By faith, down in verse 30, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turn to flight the armies of the aliens. Back in verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed them that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. All these people died in faith, being unshakable of the hope in their hearts that what God had promised them was theirs and that he would do what he said he would do. They had their eyes on a heavenly kingdom. They had their eyes on the promise of a Savior, even though they didn't get to see him in their lifetime. They still held fast to what God said was going to happen. Jesus was the fulfillment of that promise. The message of the walk of the Spirit is not for the faint-hearted. It's not for the people who want to stay in fear and walk in fear. It takes courage and it takes faith to follow Jesus. Okay, the third part of that, the third statement out of verse 6 there in Hebrews is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Okay, what does the word diligent mean? I'm always looking up words because I like to kind of get down to the heart of the matter and just see what it's really saying and sort of read the verses that way once I find out what certain words mean. Diligent is painstaking effort to persevere. And I thought, okay, well, what does persevere mean? Persevere means to persist in a purpose despite the obstacles. Amen. These are action words. These are pretty strong words. When he says he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, he is a rewarder of those who painstakingly, through perseverance, seek him. He is a rewarder of those who, despite the obstacles, persist and keep their eyes on the goal. He is a rewarder of that type of faith. I'm going to get transparent a little bit here with you. I felt like the Lord was wanting me to. But we went through a situation of about a year-long situation where an uncle of Charlie's had passed away. And this uncle was very dear to Charlie. They were extremely close. He was a great uncle. Left everything to us. Well, another uncle got extremely upset. He didn't like it. Didn't like it at all. Decided he was going to threaten us. He was going to use his connections in the city. He was going to accuse us of fraud. He was going to take us before the judge, basically have us thrown in jail. And I mean, it was really intense. very severe, very, you know. But we knew what Uncle Everett had said. We had it in writing. It was there. But the devil doesn't, you know, when God wants to do something for you, the devil doesn't like it. And he will try to make attacks. Well, I do have to say this was one of the strongest attacks I ever went through. I've never gone through anything legally in my life like this. You know, when somebody comes up threatening you legally and saying, you know, we're going to throw you in jail, inside, I'm going to tell you, inside, my insides were going, oh, Lord Jesus, I don't know. Let them have it all. I'm not going to go through with this stuff, you know. I'm just not going to have it. It's not worth the fight. But you know what? God had shown me after Uncle Everett had passed away, and we had to go to his house, and we had to take care of everything out there. We had to clean it up, and we were trying to carry out everything he had requested for us to do for him after he had gone. And I had gotten out of the car and turned around and was getting ready to walk in that house. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, this is your house. I have given this place to you. And it was clear as a bell. And I thought, okay. So it doesn't matter what this uncle is going to do. And it was a walk. It was a daily walk for me. It was a daily walk learning to trust him and hear his voice in this situation. Because I could not get in strife with this other uncle who was coming against us. Did I want to throttle him? Yeah, I wanted to throttle him. You know, but, you know, I couldn't. And I had to, okay, Lord, even though he's coming against me like this, and even though I know him and his wife basically are atheists, I pray they become their own worst enemy. I pray, you know, I'm still going to lift them up. I'm still going to believe people are going to cross their path, even those friends of theirs that are in the higher up of the city and everything, that somebody's going to get born again and cross their path and come to them and still minister to them somehow. I had to start believing that, even though of the persecution that was coming against us through the situation. Well, it was, like I said, it was a walk of keeping my eye on what I know God had told me. And every time an attack came and we got a summons or we got something in the mail or we had to go to court or we had to do this or that, you know, the enemy brings us fear and torment on you. But because I knew what God had promised me, what he had told me, I went to the Word. I knew we were right. We weren't, you know, everything was up and up. We were right. These were Uncle Everett's wishes. I just went before the Lord and I worshiped him. And I worshiped him and I told him, I thank you, Father, that you have given us this property. For some reason, you have given us this property. It is mine and no devil in hell is going to take it from me. And I stood on his Word. Looked up scripture, stood on his word, worshipped him over the word. And every time something came up, I would continually to worship him, keep my eyes on him, thank him that the victory was ours. And each time something came, the fear and the torment, it got less, and it got less, and it got less. So when we got down to basically the end of a year and going through all this and keeping my eyes on him, I was in the shower one evening, and the Lord said, just like the children of Israel, he said, I gave you that property. I gave you that land out there. But he said, just like I gave it to the children of Israel, they had to possess it. You have to possess this also. So that meant I had to keep my confession straight, because it was through the words of my mouth that I was going to keep this property and possess it. So I had to keep it straight in my mouth, and I had to continue to worship. And that's what I did until we got down to almost a year. Went to court. Judge, you know, said he'd make a ruling on it, but you know how the systems work. They take forever. And finally, we got down to about 10 or 11 months, I think it was. And it came through. The judge threw it out. He totally dismissed the case in our favor. Okay, but see, that was a learning experience for me. That was something really tough and really hard for me to go through. Now, I did that. Now, it could be sickness in your body. You know, maybe there's something you're standing for in your body. Maybe there's a situation in your life. I don't know. There's something going on. But get the scripture. Stand firm. Keep your eyes on the goal, who's the author and finisher of your faith. Jesus is the author and finisher of your faith. But it takes work. It takes action. You have to do something. I'm going to read out of Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. And it says, "Now therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin that so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who is the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Now again, here's the word endurance. Okay, what does endurance mean? It means the capacity to withstand stress. Perseverance. We go back to perseverance. Despite the obstacles, keeping focus, staying on course. Okay? I had a choice when we were going through this situation. To endure, to withstand the stress that was coming against us. The enemy will throw all kinds of hell at you. Stress. He will cause you, he will want to make you to throw up your hands and say, "It's not worth it, I can't handle this." He will make you feel like your knees are going to buckle out from underneath you. He's not nice. He doesn't play well with others. He's out to destroy you. But you have to know who your hope is in. You have to have hope before faith. Hope comes before faith. Who is your hope in? Who do you have your eyes set on? What has he told you to do, or what has he promised you in his word? What are you believing for? The word "us" is mentioned four times in this passage here in 12, 1 and 2. Paul is trying to get us to realize that we have a part to play. We have a part to play in this. We as individuals. Your spouse can't diligently seek Jesus for you. Your pastor can't diligently seek Jesus for you. God cannot even seek himself for you. You know, it, like Brother Charlie's been saying all weekend, he's been talking a lot about praying in other tongues, building yourself up. There are times when you'll go out to your prayer closet and you don't feel like praying. Those four walls are closing in on you. You don't want to pray. You don't want to pray. You feel like it's going up and it's coming right back down. Your mind is going in a jillion other directions because of your hectic or your busy schedule. But it doesn't matter. Are you going to diligently seek him? Are you going to take authority and control over your mind and your emotions, or are you going to let them control you and keep you out of the prayer closet? We all have the opportunity. Believe me, I've been there. I've been there a lot. But do you get yourself back into it? Maybe you've slacked off for a while, and you catch it. You catch yourself. Do you get yourself back in there and say, "Okay, no matter what I feel like," and believe me, there are times when I go out there, I don't want to pray. I don't feel like being out there. I am tired, because usually when I have my time, it's late at night. And a lot of times I'm exhausted. And it's like, all I want to do is go to sleep. I want my bed. I want to lay down. I don't want to sleep 10 hours. This is what I want to do. But I make myself go out there. And I have my little chaise lounge set up out there. And I will sit down and I will start to pray. And there used to be a time when I had to have music going all the time, worship music, just in the background, you know, going all the time. Praise God, I finally gotten to the point where I don't have to have anything. Everybody's different, and sometimes I put music on. But just to sit and to start praying in tongues. And if your mind gets to just going 20 jillion directions, start taking authority over your mind. Your spirit has control of your emotions and your mind, not your mind over your spirit. And if you have to tell yourself that, walk the floor and say, mind, shut up now in Jesus' name. Amen. You just shut up. Be quiet. Be quiet. And start praying in tongues. And if it starts going way over there and bounces off the wall and goes up on the ceiling and comes back down, just stop. Take authority over it again. Say, my spirit has dominance over my emotions in Jesus' name. Be quiet. And if you keep doing that, and keep doing that, and keep doing that, you'll start to realize your emotions are settling down. They're calming down. And you can pray without so much zinging going on every which direction. And worship has a part to play in that also. But anyway, we have to lay aside the things that are stopping us from seeking God diligently. And I know a lot of people will tend to get feelings of unworthiness and inadequacies. That's just the enemy coming in and trying to divert you and stop you from doing what you know you're supposed to do. That simply means you're getting your eyes more on yourself than on Jesus. You cannot make yourself into who you should be. You have to trust Him to make you into who He wants you to be. You must never measure yourself by others, but keep pressing toward Him. It's human nature to compare ourselves with each other. I mean, we all do it. I mean, I've done it hundreds of times with my husband and with others, and I have finally gotten to the point. I'm not totally successful yet, but I am finally getting to the point of where I am me. He's called, placed a call in my life. I am not like my husband, and I'm not like somebody else out here. Me, I have to learn to relax in Him, learn to hear Him for myself, and flow with how I feel like He's wanting me to flow. So don't let those feelings of inadequacy and unworthiness stop you. I let it do it for years in my life. Don't let them do it. Get your eyes off yourself. Get your eyes on Him. Many people want His presence, but they do not draw near to Him. You have to do more than just want to draw near to Him. You have to do it. You must diligently seek Him. You will always be as close to Him as you want to be. See, the ball's in your court. You can be as close to Jesus as you want to be. How close do you want to be to Him? Your victory in life will be according to how close you are to Him, how much more closely you follow Him. There are many people who seek Jesus, but only a few that actually qualify in the diligently seeking. It's those who diligently seek that get the reward. Isn't that what the scripture said? Those who diligently seek Him. What is the point of a reward if there's nothing to overcome? No man can hand you what comes from God. Man can feed your intellect and give you knowledge. But God's power only comes through death of the old man. And that old man will not go down easily. That old man likes to kick and scream. Like I said, the emotions. But we have received a new nature when we were born again. We still have to deal with the old man and all the issues in our life. But if we truly allow the Holy Spirit to help us, He will help us put that old man to death. And he, and because of that, then we will allow Jesus to be able to work through us. So when things get tough, don't abort. Don't quit. Too many people quit and give up when things start getting tough. What if in the middle of this lawsuit that we were going through because of this uncle, what if I had said, believe me, there were times where I thought, I just give up. I just don't like this pressure. I just don't like being under this type of stuff. Just let him have it. Just let him have it. I mean, thoughts like that would come through my mind. But what if I had followed through with those thoughts? We wouldn't have what Uncle Everett wanted us to have. And it wasn't just what Uncle Everett wanted us to have. God has a purpose for us for having that property, that piece of property. He has a reason for it. We're still walking that out, but there is a reason for that. So we would have lost out. We would have lost out on what God is wanting to do in the future down the road here. It'll unfold as we go along and continue to seek His face. As you spend time with Jesus, hours and hours of time with Him, applying the principles that you know in the Word of God to your life, you will begin to become more like Jesus in character, in strength, and integrity. And those principles are, you are all well aware of them, praying in the Holy Spirit, hours of praying in the Holy Spirit, transforming yourself to the Word of God, private worship. Private worship helps to bring those emotions under subjection to your spirit. It allows God's peace to start coming in and consuming your life. Meditation of the Word. Taking that Word and reading whole books over and over and over again. Allowing the Holy Spirit through that praying in tongues to illuminate to you individually, what He has for your life and those promises He has for you, strengthening you. Confession of the Word over your life. Taking that Word, taking those promises that you know belong to you and worshiping Him and confessing them with Him. And fasting. Putting that old man to death. Putting that doubt and unbelief that we all have inside of us to death. God said of King David, that he was a man after His own heart. That meant that he diligently sought Him. David diligently sought the Father. Not that David was a perfect man, because if you go back and read the account of his life back in Samuel and Kings, you'll find out David was not a perfect man. But he had a pure heart before God. He knew who his Father was, and he kept his eye on that. No matter what was thrown at him, no matter what kind of mistakes he made, he repented, he turned, and he kept going. And because of that, God said, he is a man after my own heart. I don't know about you. I want to be one that God said, she was after my heart. That would be the coolest thing when you get to heaven for him to say that. Not just well done, good and faithful servant, but you were somebody after my own heart. Yield and submit yourself over to the Holy Spirit. Give Him permission to teach you. Allow Him to teach you. Pray a lot in the Holy Spirit. Meditate the Word. Spend time with Him. Just spend hours with Him. Start setting aside a block of time. Making a schedule. I don't know your schedule. You know your schedule. But just start setting aside some time and just start being with Him. You can't spend any amount of time with Him that you're not going to start reaping a reward and start transforming your life. As you do this, He's going to form a vision on the inside of you. A vision for your life, causing desires to rise up on the inside of you that you did not even realize were there. And he's going to bring an intensity on the inside of you to cause those desires to be fulfilled. So don't give up. Be persistent despite the obstacles. Be persistent despite what Satan is going to throw at you. Just don't give up. That's all I can encourage you. Just don't give up. Keep praying in the Holy Ghost. If you're not able to do anything else, keep praying in the Holy Spirit, because everything else will follow.
Amen.
Those who love him and who love the truth will search for him more than they would the greatest treasures of the world. So what is the reward? The reward is how much more clearly you're able to see him. How much more clearly you're able to know his voice. How much his presence is showing up when it's just you and him alone in that prayer closet. How much more you love the brethren. The reward is his manifested presence in your life. His resident anointing in your life. His power resting on your life. His wisdom in your day-to-day walk with him. Your needs being met. Your body getting healed. And a relationship so sweet with the living God that it will consume you.